Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Glad to have you. We're nearing the end of September, but we still have some things that are relevant this month that we want to talk about. One, we didn't want to forget, which is it's National Suicide Prevention Month. And you may say this doesn't really affect me, but you know, take my word, it might. You just never know, because not everybody's going to go and tell you. I think I'm going to commit suicide today or something of that nature. You know, the signs are there sometimes, and sometimes they're not. This is really important that you get to know the people that you love and you deal with on a regular basis, so that maybe you can be the one to save a life. So anyway, I have invited licensed mental health counselor Kathy Booker to return today to discuss this, because it's not just this month that we need to focus on it. It's every day that we need to really take this seriously. Good morning, Kathy. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, Gretchen. I am always wonderful, even when I don't
good.
Feel like it.
Good. I mean, and I know sometimes it's hard for people to kind of wrap their head around that. You know, that you feel good, and even if you don't necessarily feel good, you kind of gotta take charge of how you're feeling and kind of make yourself, you know, at least feel better than at least maybe when you first started out the day. You know,
exactly.
you have to change that mindset, because you could go down a dark path. So Kathy, tell me a little bit about what you deal with in terms of suicide and people that you counsel.
As a just a daily practice or standard operating procedure, one of the things I do is what they call a brief mental exam. Within that exam, it determines whether a person has suicidal ideation, have suicide attempts, have thought about it. So basically, every session that I do, it is just an assessment. It doesn't have to be very detailed, but just an assessing how a person is thinking, feeling, and if those thoughts and feelings have been regarding suicide, or even if they have attempted, and if they have, usually those clients are Baker acted. Or if they have a plan, and you have to think about what would happen for them to plan to do it. So it's like, if this happens, then this. So mm-hmm. It's kind of standard practice, I think, as practitioners, particularly in mental health, that we do just to monitor and make sure that something is not there. A lot of times we don't understand. Impulsive suicide is the most successful suicide. It doesn't take a plan. You know, people think that they go around and say goodbye, and they go around and do certain rituals that would indicate, you know, hey, something is wrong with that person. Case in point, the man who jumped in front of the train, was it in New York? With his daughter in his arms. And they know now that this man had a history of depression, but there was no flashing red lights that even his wife would have been able to say she thought he would do something so, so serious and take one of his, one of their children with him.
These days, suicide, which is, you know, what I was going to say is not as simple as it was, but I mean, there's so many dynamics behind suicide that is not simple anyway. But what I was trying to go to is that people actually are prompted in different ways to commit suicide. Social media is a big factor, as well as the thought process now in terms of how suicides occur. But let's first talk about the outside influences, such as social media and other things, that contribute to some of this.
That is such a lucid variable.
Okay.
Because people's preoccupation with death seems to have increased over, you know, it seems maybe the last 10 or 15 years. If we put in zombies and
different
vampires and just this preoccupation with death, thinking that if I die, then I have more power, kind of stuff. There is a, you know, a small fraction that's going through that, but also, I think there are some desensitizing about violence overall, because we see a lot of it every day on television. Every video game that I basically see has something to do with shooting and killing. So I think some of it has the social media, the case that the girl got charged with by telling the boyfriend or ex-boyfriend friend, why don't you just kill yourself? I'm not sure that young people understand how serious it is when they say that to someone, particularly if someone does not have the type of support that they need to overcome feelings that I'm better off dead. I think I just got an article about an 8-year-old who committed suicide because of bullying. So there's a lot of stuff, much, much more different things that are happening now, overall feeling, I think, in our society now that what's the use? It doesn't seem like the people that we depend on to make decisions are making the best decisions for us anyway. So what's the purpose of life? I think that I've kind of gotten that said to me in different ways about what's purpose. You know, if indeed I do grow up and have whatever that I think I need, food, clothing, and shelter at a certain level. If I can't have that, then what's the use? So that kind of thing continues to come up, particularly between that 18 to maybe 35-year-old, because there isn't a clear line of what is it that I'm here for and what is it that I am to do in order to do the things that I need to do. So if it's getting a car, getting a house, having all of the latest fashions, and that takes a certain amount of money, how do I do that on minimum wage, or how do I keep up with that image if I lose my job and I have a six-figure job? So it's a lot of stuff that's coming into play now that would give a person a feeling of hopelessness. And if I'm feeling hopeless or don't think that there is any hope, then suicide becomes an option.
So Kathy, let me, because when I'm listening to you, I'm hearing, you know, I can't have this or I can't do that. How much is it that there's a need maybe for control? And if I can't control it, then why bother? And the reason I'm asking mm-hmm. also about control is I think we did discuss a suicide not too long ago. It was in the news about this gentleman who decided he was having a suicide party. His older mm-hmm. gentleman. We discussed that, right? Anyway, it was an older gentleman. He was, I guess, in a nursing home or whatever. He decided, you know, it was in one of those states where it's legal to take your own life that God gave mm-hmm. you. But anyway, mm-hmm. He decided he was getting dressed up and everything, and he was having this party, and he planned this party, and he had, I guess, a significant other or whatever that was there and everything. And then, you know, at the end of the party, he's like, okay, I'm basically... I'm done. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, he goes and gets euthanized and everything, which is a nice way to put killing yourself, because that's what it is, just killing yourself.
Exactly.
How much is it that we feel that we need to control things? And if we can't control it, then we're just kind of lost.
Well, the biggest issue with suicide is that people are having an overwhelming emotional pain that tends to have physical, you know, they really do feel pain, period. Physically, emotionally, mentally, there's no way to get that thought out to make it better, because if that person is already in crisis, and then as life is, if you're already in crisis, there's always something else that happens. that's just the way life is. So if I can't get out of one situation before another situation occurs, then the pain becomes almost reinforced, because no matter what I do, I can't do anything right. And nobody understands. Nobody can't feel what I feel. Nobody can know what I know. Nobody has solutions to what I need to have done. And it could be as simple as not being able to have the same clothing that is required in my age group to have the appearance that I'm doing well.
Kathy, how much of that, though, is self-inflicted versus, let's say, maybe peer pressure or societal pressure?
I think when you think of suicide, those can be things that can be used to say, because of these situations, then, you know, I just don't want to be here anymore. And that's usually what you hear, yet very young people. I just don't want to be here anymore. And if we look at it and look at reality, because I think once anybody just begins to understand the reality of life, sometimes it doesn't look very pleasant, you know. If we think about mass shootings, and we haven't heard a lot about what's going over the seas where our troops are,
uh-huh.
Just think about those people who have to always live with the fact that their person that they love very much may die at any time.
Uh-huh.
So it's something, it's personal. You have to be able to help that person to understand that they're not the only person in the world that has bad times. In fact, you know, at some point in time, all of us do. But to get them to the place where they're not feeling the pain to the point where they're feeling what's the use is very difficult. You have to keep people connected. You know, like you were saying, you know, sometimes it just takes picking up the phone and checking on someone to make sure that, you know, everything is fine with them. And if you detect that there's something a little bit off, sometimes you just need to stop and ask. You know, you seem a little bit off today, and because it doesn't necessarily present itself as sadness. Sometimes people who are, look at Robin Williams, who was very happy every time you saw him. He presented.
Or at least that was it. Or that was the front.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Or Borbane, who, you know, would do these wonderful shows, and just the shock of this, like, well, never you could, you know, no news, nothing about it. And all of a sudden, he was not here with us, much less if you bring it down to just us. And every day that people go to work, do the things that they need to do, or there's a type of poverty that's going on now that everyone says that everybody has the same access to do the things that they need to do. But what happens when you begin to go under, and no matter what you do to get on top, you can't get on top? So it's a different America. We're much different than we used to be. So there's a lot of things that happening to better put it out there to tell, you know, just in our military, we're having, you know, a significant increase of suicide of soldiers in all across the board, not just one particular branch. It's across the board. So it's a different America. We have to be able to understand that, and that's hard to say, but we have to say that that's not necessarily a choice. But listen, with these young people, they say, well, if I don't kill myself, somebody else will. You know, they could come to the movie theater. They could come to my school, you know. And for kids who hear gunshots every day here in little old peaceful Orlando, it's an everyday thing.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Yeah. This month is National Suicide Prevention Month, and I'm going to give the lifeline out in case you are thinking about committing suicide, which we don't want you to do, or if you know of someone or you suspect that someone might be considering it. The number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. That is 1-800-273-8255. We're here with Kathy Booker discussing suicide. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes, and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the yard with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Chill out jazz. Are you chilling?
Good morning and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. This month is National Suicide Prevention Month, and we're talking about it. We want to give you a couple of numbers. One, we want to give you the number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 1-800-273-8255. And also, I've shared the Facebook page for the National Suicide Prevention Hotline on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. Also, if you want to ask Kathy a question, we have Kathy Booker on with us today to talk about it. If you want to ask her a question or you want to share a story, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. Kathy, I want to ask you about what you think the motivation is behind murder suicides. Someone that is going to take their own life, but they're not going quietly or alone. I mean, it's bad enough that the suicide of the individual itself has an impact on everybody else, and they don't realize, I don't think they think about that, you know, when they're in the midst of deciding that this is the way to go. But then what with the motivation or the mentality behind taking someone else?
Well, there's a couple of things that go on when you talk about that specific type of suicide. Murder and suicide. One is domestic violence. During the time that a person is feeling that a person is leaving them and this is permanent, that it's almost like if I can't have you, nobody else can have you. So you have that situation where murder or and suicide can happen. You also have with elderly that it occurs because it's like, you know, there won't be anyone else here to take care of you but me. So both of us are sick. And so they, you know, they just feel like this is the way to go. Okay. The other times I think that murder-suicide happens is when people have made a pact that if things get worse to the worst of the worst, like some teenagers have done this, you know, let's agree that because things are so bad, let's sit and come up with a date and time that we're going to do this. Now, at times, some kids have backed out of it, but at other times, it has not happened. And It you just never know what may be the trigger to force a person into a situation where they've thought about killing themselves, and since they feel that no one would be there to care for the person or provide for the person, or because they care so much for the person, then I'm not only going to kill myself, but I'm going to kill them as well. I don't think the partners always agree to that situation unless they too have a history of why live. So it's one of those phenomena that human beings do that we still can't understand, you know, why it happens and what kind of situation it happens. They definitely know about domestic violence. You know, they know that at the time a person gets ready to leave, that's the most difficult time that a fatality can occur and has occurred. They know that already. I think they're still working through trying to understand when we have elderly murder-suicide packs, as well as when teens, you know, like this guy that you were saying that did the suicide party. What if they decide not only him, but, you know, everybody who's at the party? I think that that would be so overwhelming for the general public to do, you know, to euthanize themselves at a party. So that's another, it's difficult to tell. You know, at what point, what can we do to prevent murder-suicide? it's being able, again, to constantly have the connections and the family connections, because, you know, family connections are nowhere near what they used to be, I'm going to say, at least 30 or 40 years ago. We have a shift in families that's much different than it was ever, that I've ever seen in my life, where families aren't as cohesive as mm-hmm. they used to be. They definitely aren't living in the same, you know, states, cities. So it then brings about people in these isolated times when they're really going through a hard time. You know, to pick up a phone is much more difficult than it is if, you know, mom, dad, auntie, cousin just happens to drop by and you may be going through it and they can recognize it. And so you have, you know, people who have, you know, intervened in situations that could have got totally out of control, but because you had that family cohesiveness, that family love that was exhibited and shown and helped people through the worst of the worst of the worst. You just don't see that as much anymore, Gretchen. You see people getting together, but mm-hmm. I've seen everybody in the family from the 2-year-old up on a phone or on an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk to each other. And I, you know, I think they really need to make a rule in restaurants to, you know, leave your iPads in the car or have a iPad phone little lock on the end of the table where you can put it all in the box and lock it until, you know, you finish
mm-hmm.
With your meal. So we're entering a different type of way that we do family. It's much, much different. And I think because of that, there's such a loss for some people who normally family, there would be somebody in the family. There's always somebody in the family who's going to make sure that person is okay. No matter what, no matter how difficult they are, no matter how much they may act out, that person, that one person in the family makes a difference. And I don't know if we have that as much because we're so busy trying to live or make a living that it's hard to pick up on maybe what's going on with cousin so-and-so or grandma or, you know, my brother, sister, husband, wife. It's hard pick up on that stuff sometimes.
One of the things that you keep saying is hard, it's hard, it's hard. I mean, life is hard. I mean, life has been hard. I mean, we had folks before the age of technology working out in the field, you know, that's hard work. And then coming home and still, you know, dealing with the family. I think we, in my opinion, expect too mm-hmm. much. We expect things to be easy. We expect that I don't have to work. We expect that relationships just fall into place. And I think that has something to do with that, as well as other things that go on, like the divorce and marriage, you know, rates and stuff, because people don't want to work.
Right, right.
Yeah.
The difference is when a person has a different type of job, they have an ability to have that time, that self-time, enough physical. They already know that physical work can get you, you know, because you don't have time to think of the bad things. You're too busy trying to work. Well,
mm-hmm.
you know, just think about what would you say the American dream is right now?
I think it just, to be honest, I at this point think it depends on what American you ask or what person you ask.
Exactly.
At this point, you know, it used to kind of be more defined.
What was it? You could buy
a house, you buy a car, you know.
Have a family and everything, go to church, Everything was
fine.
Go
to a good school, yeah, you know, get a good education.
Good job, you know, good education.
Go to college, you know.
Or have a good trade, a good skill
mm-hmm.
that you could, you know, actually go and work and make some good money from. The American dream is different now. We don't, if we look at it from just one part of the perspective right now, is make as much money as you can. It doesn't matter how you make it, just make it so that you can live good. That's one thing, one theme I keep hearing. And I'm going, not everyone, because they started this push on everybody needed a college education, what, in the 60s?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when education started to change. I'm in the process of trying to put a lot of information together because there has been a greater shift for families. So I think because of that, you're having more health issues, more mental health issues, more just stresses that were not necessarily stresses even in the 60s. You know, we had more people working in the 60s. We had more people had jobs that there was a certain amount of job satisfaction. I think you were talking about people who, because of the job market being so good, that people weren't making it on the first day. Didn't we have that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, look at that. What kind of value are we setting as a precedent that if you don't want to or feel like going to that job because maybe you don't like that job, then you don't have to go. You don't have to show up. And
mm-hmm.
in the 60s, that would never have happened. Just the idea of having someone not show up or
mm-hmm.
the amount of people that are not showing up, that would not have happened.
Yeah, I heard that, and it's like, okay, but you know, if you decide you change your mind and you've got a better offer, that's fine. But you are supposed to have common courtesy. You know, you're supposed to call and say, you know, I've changed my mind. I don't think this job will work for me, or whatever you need to say, or whatever. But just to not even bother.
Up.
Yeah.
Oh, even look at when we look at those kind of human behaviors that we're having right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something as simple as you know, and I know that there's a conversation on both sides. You know, when you have a policeman who doesn't have the discretion to know that even if a child is out of control, you arrest them at 6. Come on, you know what happened? Why would you not have the discretion to know what that's all about? You know, so if that person, and I'm not saying and that person has anything, but maybe something's going on in their life.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a whole nother discussion.
But look at the decisions that we're making now in our everyday life. I mean, just riding around in Orlando, you know that for some reason, it's like, what is making you be in so much of a rush that not only do you are putting your life at in danger, but you're
mm-hmm.
putting everybody. How many other people? If just because you decide that driving at 70, 80, 90 miles an hour is appropriate in the middle of rush hour traffic, it boggles my mind.
Oh, that's
need that suicidal behavior.
That's another discussion too about all this crazy driving, too.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that, but that's a whole different discussion. We're going to take a quick break. We are talking with Kathy Booker about our topic, National Suicide Prevention Month, and causes and just things that make you wonder, you know, why are people why is the suicide rate increasing? And when we come back, I'm going to talk about some information that Kathy sent to me that I was hoping to post, but my technical skills aren't doing so well today. But anyway, we want to give you the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That number is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. This is for you if you are kind of leaning toward considering, you know, taking your own life. This is for if you know of someone, family, friend, coworker, whatever, that might be going down that path and you want to help pull them back. This is the number for you. Also, if you have questions for Kathy Booker, the number is 516-387-1944. This is Cheese Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are joined by licensed mental health counselor Kathy Booker, we're talking about National Suicide Prevention Month, and again, we want to give out the number in case you need it. Or you know someone that might be in need, and that number is, this is for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. Kathy, I'm going to talk about something that I pretty much know that you're going to agree with me on. I don't think I could say this with other people, and that is I think our lack of sticking to some sort of faith life, it has a great impact on the suicide rate. I think if you aren't teaching your children when they, you know, from the beginning that there's a higher power than yourself and that you can't control everything, if you aren't teaching your kids from the beginning that human life is valuable, including their own, not just other people, but their own, no matter who or what anybody has to say about it. If you're not, teaching some of that at the beginning, and you've got to reinforce it, you just can't teach it once. It's got to be reinforced. So, and that's my opinion, Kathy, but can you talk a little bit about that? Because is there any type of correlation that you see between people who have a belief in God or some sort of faith life versus those that don't?
Well, unfortunately, faith-based suicide mimics the society as a whole. Okay, that I don't have the percentage for you, but I remember reading something at one point that people's belief in God and their being able to go to a place, synagogue or church, you know, a temple, whatever the place that they go. Because you got to realize people who feel depressed and hopeless they can put on good faces. They can go to church every Sunday.
Right.
Or go to their place of worship every Saturday. Or, you know, go and present themselves. But if a person feels like I've done something so horrible that even God won't ever forgive me, and there's nothing that you can say to them because this is the worst sin in the world, because we don't, you know, we know sin is sin. There are some things mm-hmm. that we think is more horrendous. There's another whole thinking that goes on about the fact that we don't even acknowledge spiritual wickedness and spiritual possession. We kind of think it is a hocus-pocus kind of thing.
Yeah.
If I read my Bible correctly, it was going on for quite some time that it did not stop. And because we are now modern day man, those mm-hmm. things don't exist anymore. And maybe because yeah. now we have this medical model for diagnosing the ailments, the mental and emotional ailments of man, we think that we have some control over it. And maybe we have not done enough faith-based training to help people to realize that just what you said, there's a control beyond humanness. And if we really think about our spiritual relationship with God as opposed to our human relationship with God, that might mm-hmm. be the key to help people to feel better about the fact that, yes, I go through this, I'm going through this, and there is better. At some point in time, it may not be right now, it may not be next year, but there is better. And I think you have that within a certain spiritual relationships that people have been able to overcome because they have either accepted Christ in their life or they begin to understand the real foundation of their relationship with God. And because there are some people who will not commit suicide because they know that that would be the ultimate sin.
Right. Right.
So,
I mean,
yeah,
I remember going through some periods in my life, and that was the one thing, just that one thing, like, nah,
mm-hmm.
This is bad. Hell is definitely worse. I don't know it, but that's what I've been told, and I don't want to try it myself. So I'm not doing that. And that would be in some cases the only thing that pulled me back from the ledge, so to speak.
People as well.
Yeah.
But we don't have the same neighborhood. You know, it was like a social gathering for you to go to church. Everybody basically went to church
mm-hmm.
in the neighborhood, you know, but we don't have the same type of neighborhoods we used to have. Let me do this before we get too far. One of the things that this report that I've read, it says untreated or undertreated mental health is the major risk factor for suicide.
Mm.
Of those who die, suicide, more than 90% have a diagnosable mental disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Estimated 2 to 15% of persons who have been diagnosed with major depression die by suicide. And an estimated 3 to 20% of persons who have been diagnosed with bipolar disorder die by suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide risk is highest in depressed individuals who feel hopeless about the future, those who have been discharged from the hospital, those who have a family history of suicide, and those who have made a suicide attempt in the past. Most who have attempted suicide have seen a health care or a social service professional in the past 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then I wanted this report that you sent me, Florida link, and
mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you about that in a minute, but according to this report that Kathy sent me, Florida's suicide rate higher than the national average.
Exactly.
So whatever's going on in the rest of the country, it's worse here. 13.8 versus 12.93 per 100,000. So, and then you've got to consider how many hundreds of thousands of people we have here right in Central Florida, and how many of those people are committing suicide. You have to look at that. Overall number of suicides has increased 24% over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide is the third leading cause of death among youth ages 10 to 24.
10 to 24.
Yeah, and then suicide, let me go back to that, is the second leading cause of death among young adults, 25 to 34.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and that's, like I said, that's where I kind of go back and say, you know, why are you devaluing the gift that God gave you? You know, youth suicide rates, Florida, 7.4 per 100,000 versus 8.51 nationally per 100,000. And then
mm-hmm.
19 Florida counties are above the national rate.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, anyway, we're going to take our last break. We are here with Kathy Booker. This is National Suicide Prevention Month. We need to be talking about this, though, more than just 1 month a year. One day a month, you know, 1 hour a day. We need to talk about it. We need to really, or at least pay attention. I mean, I know it's hard to talk about, but at least, you know, bond with some people, you know, and make sure that they feel like, you know, you could be a safe place for somebody to land. You can make the difference between someone deciding there's nothing here for me, there's no one here for me, and why am I here? Why do I bother? Versus,
mm-hmm.
well, I know I can go to this person, even if it's just, you know, to sit and have a cup of coffee or something, you know, because that, you know, or a hug. People,
exactly.
I think, underrate hugs. Hugs make a lot of difference.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So anyway, the number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. And if you want to call in, if you have a story you want to share, or you have a question for Kathy, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720, Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Depp Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Here with licensed mental health counselor Kathy Booker, and which is National Suicide Prevention Month. And, you know, I mean, even though we're near the end of September, it's, you know, no one time that you really need to talk about this, because we need to figure out what to do and how to help. The first thing that we're going to do is give out the number 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255, and that is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. But Kathy, okay, you have somewhat of a trained eye, so to speak, in terms of knowing, at least, or being taught what things to look for or how to help, and you help in professional capacity. But how do we as lay people learn how to help someone, whether it's a young person, whether it's a military retiree or discharged veteran, you know, how do we be there? What do we do?
I think one of the things you have to do is really listen and have a sensitivity to the person that's in your life. Because people don't say, I'm going to kill myself. They say, I just don't want to live anymore. You know, and people go, oh, you know, what are you talking about? You don't want to live anymore. That don't make no sense, you know. And they go on to talk about other things. And minimize just that statement, you know, and that's a powerful statement because it's like, okay, when you say that, what do you mean? What's going on? Not, oh, you know, don't say that, don't say that. Well, I want to know when you say that, what do you mean? Or they go, well, nobody cares anyway. What difference would it make? That doesn't seem to be a suicidal statement. However, for me, it's like, okay, when you say nobody cares, what do you mean? Nobody cares about you or nobody cares about what? What is it that nobody cares about? Because a lot of times if you get people to just vent, sometimes people just have to vent. And I'm not talking about a person who likes to just continuously talk about their problems no matter what and not
right.
do anything about it. I'm talking about sometimes people just need to get some stuff off of their chest without feeling like they're being judged about
mm-hmm.
everything they feel or want out of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, sometimes you do a real talk,
mm-hmm.
you have to breathe. You know, I was asked a question in the doctor's office Monday. Oh, is there anything happening now that would upset you? I'm going, I know you're not asking that question.
You know, Kathy, I think part of the problem is that we feel like we need to be always on. Just
yeah,
always doing something or always being accessible, or we have to always be productive. And I'm guilty, you know, and I have had to learn, you know, that it's okay to have downtime. It's okay
mm-hmm.
to say no. It's okay to take some time to do some self-reflection. Or it's okay to sometimes every now and then have some mindless fun, you know. I guess that's why I go to the movies a lot. You know, I just sit there and you know, and be entertained, you know. Or I've learned, you know, that's why I have to do a soak in the tub every now and then. You know, it's just, and I may read or not. I may have a glass of wine or a cup of tea or not. You know, I may listen to some music or not. And that's the thing. I think that part of that goes back to that thing that I was talking to you about where people feel like they need to have control over something and maybe they don't feel like they have control. And so maybe they need to carve out sections of time or sections of their life to have a little control and to take a little time back for themselves.
Exactly. And it's okay to be by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need a big entourage or just, you know, one person. If you would just understand that anytime you just can say hello and smile and enjoy the fact that a conversation was held, even if it was about, you know, in the grocery line, a lot of times people start just talking to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
mm-hmm.
see value that human contact, you know, because that person saw something in you that made them want to say something to you. So, you know, it's okay to smile and say, well, you know, thank you for that conversation or thank you for that compliment. It's okay to be all right with people saying something to you.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we just don't, we just take it for granted, I think. It's just crazy that we don't understand how, I mean, I just like just in general watching kids. Kids are just the most free and just enjoying life.
Mm-hmm.
No. often when I work with kids, they say, you smile all the time. Why do you smile? And it's like, because I've always responded this way, because I'm enjoying you. And they go, well, I didn't do anything important. And I said, well, you did. Just by us having a conversation, it helps me to smile because I'm enjoying the things that I'm learning from you. And they're going, well, what can you learn from kids? I say, I learn stuff from kids all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
You have to be around kids because you have to remember what it was like, you know, before you decided to fill your life up with so much junk.
Don't even talk about it.
Because I think that a lot of what we go through is, in some cases, self-imposed, you know, because we feel we need this or that, or because we feel we need to be this or that in order to impress somebody or whatever, or to keep up with the Joneses or whoever. I think a lot of stuff that you know, is self-imposed. And if we don't catch ourselves, we get lost.
Exactly. And it's easy to get lost because if you just run through the course of the day and not even stop to appreciate what was it today that I accomplished, and if it was nothing more to me to get in my car and go where I need to go and come back safely, that to me is a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Because getting into a car accident is worse than the worst thing for me in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a small thing. Small things are significant. The fact that you can enjoy whatever food that you enjoy eating, you know, and I know
mm-hmm.
we got this weight, this stuff going on, and part of it is good, but part of it is just too much pressure on certain people that they, you know, don't have the opportunity just to enjoy what may be a food that, you know, like ice cream. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and eat ice cream. Well, I agree. You can't, but you can eat some.
Mm-hmm.
Just enjoy that
or not even just that. It's a matter of, like, earlier today, believe it or not, today was, like, the first day that I didn't have to run out. There were no classes, there were no appointments, there was a minute. And I got in there in one of the bathrooms and started cleaning. Now, that's not enjoyable, okay? Let me just put that there. It's not that it wasn't enjoyable, but I appreciated the fact that I had some time to make a choice, and I made a decision that was beneficial to our household. You know? But it was a matter of, wow, I actually have time to do this. I actually can, you know, and I can take my time with it, and I'm not rushed.
Exactly. And I also want to say that we take for granted love.
Yes.
Sometimes you just got to understand that love can be as simple as getting outside and smelling the air, you know. I love, you know, going to the beach because it's just invigorating. So you have to get outside of yourself sometimes in order to stop feeling that the whole world is against you. you know, because there's another part of the world that's just begging you to come out there and pay attention to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you what my thing is. I like to look at cartoons, you know. So
yeah, me
I'm
too.
Always, you know, that's my downtime where I don't have to think, or a comedy, you know, something that's going to make you laugh. Do something,
yeah.
Go where it's so you can laugh. Because the laughter then brings you out of all of that, you know, and oh, I don't have nothing to laugh about. Well, come on. You know, if you think just about yourself, there are some funny things about you.
Yeah.
You know. So,
Kathy,
we gotta go
because, you know, we could talk about this for a while. But we just wanted to call attention to it. And, again, that number, if you know somebody that needs the suicide prevention hotline, is 1-800-273-8255. Kathy Booker, thank you so very much for taking the time out.
Anytime.
Tomorrow we have a delayed Friday in the Garden with Robert Bowden. Thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. Have a blessed day, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.